Hi, everyone. I hope you guys are having fun today and enjoying the worship. I had a great time worshiping God. Today, I want to talk to you about making right choices. We make decisions in our life every day, from what we listen to and what we watch on TV, to what games we play and the people we spend time with, and the career path that we may take, and where we live, and most importantly, the value system that we base our lives on. It can often be difficult to make the right choices. So how do we do it? There are a lot of things that can influence our decisions. Our friends, our parents, the media, or the instincts. Or we can live our lives based on how we feel. All of these things do have a place in our decision-making process within their limits. But the best place to go to, and the one who should have the final say, is God. He created us, and is the only one who knows the bigger picture. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our past, our present, and our future. The Bible talks a lot about the benefits of seeking God. If you look at Proverbs 28, verse 5, it says, "Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully." The only way we are going to know what is right is to look to God and to know Him. There are no shortcuts and there are no quick fixes. Often what the world tells us and what God says are very different, and it is important to be able to distinguish one from the other. I just got a few sayings that are either from the world or from the Bible that will come up on the screen. And if you know if it's from the Bible or where it's from in the Bible, or if it's from the world, just yell out as they come up. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Proverbs. Yep, it's Proverbs 51:1. The next one. Too close for comfort. Yeah. Yep, it's not in the Bible. The next one. Pride goes before destruction.
Oh, you know it.
Proverbs. Yep, Proverbs 16:18. A good name is more desirable than great riches.
Proverbs. Anybody on this side?
Oh. Yeah. Proverbs 22:1. Then we got a few more. If you play with fire, you will get burnt. Yeah, I think it's from the world. Yeah. The next one. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's Proverbs 27:17. Next one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Yep, it's not in the Bible. The next one, saved by the skin of your teeth.
I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, do you want to put it up? It's in Job 19:20.
I had to look one that up too.
So as you can see, not yet. As you can see, it's very hard sometimes to know the difference, and sometimes they sound like they're from the Bible and they're not, or the other way around. So as Pastor Chris talked about this morning, it's very important to know the Word of God and to use it. And the way to then that's the way you're going to be able to differentiate it. And you need to spend the time not just reading the Bible, because when I first became a Christian, I just read it like I would read a book, even though God spoke to me because I was a new Christian. And then you kind of finish it and you think, well, why do I need to read it again? Like, I know what's in it. But you don't, because there are many layers in God's words. And God brings revelation as you study it. And you need to have that close relationship with God and be connected to His Holy Spirit, because God's given you that Spirit for a reason. So what does it mean when I say study the Bible? I usually start by asking the Holy Spirit to teach me as I read it. So you need to get connected with Him. And when you're reading a passage, ask questions like, what is the main idea of the passage? And what does the passage say about God or about Jesus or about the Holy Spirit or about us or people in the world? And how does it apply to me? And how am I going to apply it in my day-to-day living? It also helps to go over the passage a few times because you do pick up extra things as you read it again and again. And it's also good to try and write it down in your own words and think it over throughout the day. And I think we have the Grow Daily little things with the Bible readings in it that we get out at the start of the year in your vision pack, and that's in the front inside cover of it. It's got the things that you can work through as you read your Bible. So if you don't have one, there should be some at the back. There's also a lot of resources available out there. There's a lot of books. There's Bible dictionaries, concordances out there. A lot of these things are also available on the internet nowadays, so we don't even have to leave our house to learn. And God's given us these tools, so use them. But be cautious, and make sure that what you're reading lines up with God's Word and His Spirit. And if you need guidance in where to go, I'm sure Pastor Chris or Pastor Pat or John will be able to help you, or you can ask one of your leaders. So is it enough to know the Bible if you're going to make your decisions on? Even if we know the Bible, some choices are difficult. The Bible doesn't explicitly cover every possible situation in life. For example, is it all right to listen to a song that has a catchy tune but might have some bad language in it? Can you really just enjoy the beat and honestly say the lyrics have no effect on you? Or playing a game that contains cultic themes or violence, is it just a game with no real effect on you? Participating in a non-Christian religious ceremony, it could be doing it out of respect for your parents. Should we avoid idols and false religions completely? I used to struggle with that one when I became a Christian because both our families are Hindus, and I wasn't strong enough to tell my parents at the start, so I did all the Hindu ceremonies. And even afterwards, I felt I had to go because I wanted to honor them, but it became like I was walking in two different camps, and you had to make a decision. And the other thing is, if you drink, is drinking wine isn't a sin, only drunkenness. But is it all right for you to do it because it's not a sin? Does it destroy your Christian witness if you drink? And there are things like Halloween that are becoming really big in Australia now. Is it wrong for us as Christians to participate, or is it just a harmless fun? These are some things the Bible doesn't directly say do or don't. So what do we do in these circumstances? The Bible does give us some principles to guide us. Well, it gives us all a lot of principles. But if we turn to Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we have to do everything in the name of Jesus. So we need to make sure Jesus is going to be happy with what we are doing, that He's going to be happy to put His name on it and say, yep, I approve of this. So we need to ask, would Jesus approve? And then if you look at Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we need to make sure that we are doing what God classifies as good. Or is it classified as a wise decision? Is it true? Is it pure? Is it just? Is it going to bring praise to God? And if we turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. And then it goes on to say, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So God says our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. So we need to be careful about how we treat it. Because if we dishonor our bodies, we are dishonoring God. So we need to ask, will our choices degrade or defile our body? And then Romans 6:6. Says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So Jesus paid a big price for our freedom, so we may no longer be controlled by anything or anyone, that we will come under the authority of him. We need to be careful that we don't make ourselves slaves again, that we don't let anything control us. We need to ask, will what we are doing sooner or later make a slave out of me? Will it eventually end up controlling who I am and how I live? And in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it warns us to avoid every kind of evil. So ask yourself, is what I'm doing having even a hint of evil on it? And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 8:13, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. It basically says we have a responsibility to the people around us, whether they're Christians or not. We need to do our best not to stand in the way of someone's faith. We need to ask, will my indulgence in this prevent someone from accepting Christ as Savior or tend to weaken someone's faith? Out of all the questions that I've just spoke about that we need to address, I think we need to always make sure there are two questions that we always answer yes to, and that is, would Jesus approve? Because we can't do anything that he doesn't approve of. And will the decision be good? And will it be wise thinking? I think if the rest of the questions are no, we can still maybe able to do it, but we need to listen to our hearts and the prompting of the Holy Spirit to know what things are okay for us to do. It's also a good idea to share and pray about the decision or the choices you're facing with a mature Christian you trust, so either your pastors or your leaders, or it might just even be somebody who you know outside of church but a Christian. Sometimes the most difficult choices in life are not those between wrong and right, but choices of what is good and what is best. Just because something may not be wrong does not mean it's right for you at this time and in this situation. Always ask God first and wait for an answer. Sometimes it takes a while for us to hear him. Most of us in this room have received Jesus and have a personal relationship with God. We have made a commitment to follow God, but it's not always easy to do so. Because Matthew 7:14 says, narrow is the gate that leads to life. Even though it's going to be difficult, it's still going to be the one that's going to give us life. It's hard to follow God in every part of our life, but God has given us the strength and the ability to do it. We have to hold on to the hope we have in him and persevere until we get it right. Don't give up. Even if you keep making the wrong choices, God will help you if you ask him. And all he asks is that we try our best. If you are struggling to make decisions in your life, or if there's a specific decision you need prayer for, if you would like to come up as we close and the band comes up,